Hello, I'm Jesse Wolds from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us into 2021. Today, as we look to God's Word, we're continuing the series we began last week through the book of Romans. And our reading is Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 15. So you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider His Word, read the passage, and then we'll cut to me with a children's talk. So if you have children, make sure they're listening. Then we'll have the sermon. And so let's pray. Our Lord and God, we pray that as we hear Your Word both read and taught, that You would do mighty things in us. You've promised that Your Word will not return to You void, but like the rain produces growth on the earth, it achieves the purpose You've set for it. We pray that Your purpose would be to make us more into the people You've saved us to be. Make us more like Jesus. Grow us in our love for Him and for each other. Grow us in our love and appreciation for the Gospel. Transform us and make us new, as we look to Your Word in the power of Your Spirit. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's read Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 15. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if, by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. And now, it's over to the children's talk.
Hi everyone, I am here with my three kids, Kai, Ellie and Hannah. Say hi guys.
Hi.
Now I want to talk to you about love. How do we show love to other people? Can you give me some ideas?
By God.
By caring about others.
By caring about others, that's a pretty good answer, Kai.
Praying
for others. That's a really good answer, Ellie. Hannah? Any other ideas? Ellie?
Thanking people.
That's a good option. Yeah. Ellie, do you have another idea?
Yes.
Yeah? What's that?
Hugging and kissing.
Those are good. I have some pictures down here of different ways that we can show love. And let's see what I've got. I have here, what's this?
A hug.
That's right. It's a hug. A hug, just like what Ellie said. That's one way that we show love. What's this? What's happening here?
Caring.
Kissing.
Kissing. That's right. A mum and a dad are kissing their child. So we've got hugging and kissing. About this here, this might be a bit tricky to work out. This is a teacher who is helping one of her students. So here's a teacher who's patiently teaching one of her students, helping her to understand what's going on. That is one way that we show love and care. And here's another one. What's this?
Caring for an ill person.
That's right, caring for someone who's sick. That's another way that we can help and care for and love other people. Those are all really good ways of loving people. But there is one way that is even better than all the others. There is one way that we show love, which is the greatest way. Can you tell me what you think this picture means?
Jesus died upon the cross.
Yeah. What's this?
A cross.
This?
Telling that Jesus died upon the cross to save us from our sin.
That's right. This is a speech bubble with the cross in it. So this is showing someone telling other people all about Jesus and what he did on the cross. Do you know the best way that we can show love to other people is by telling them all about Jesus? Do you know we can talk about Jesus to people who are already Christians? Do you know that's a really great way of showing love to other people, to other Christians? Because Christians love to talk about Jesus. And we can also talk to people who don't know Jesus, and we can tell them the gospel. We can tell them all about what Jesus did on the cross. The way that we can show love to all kinds of people, whether they're Christians or whether they're not Christians, is to tell them about Jesus, to tell them about what he did at the cross. Telling people about Jesus is the best way of loving them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that you showed your love by sending Jesus. And we thank you that we can show love to other people by telling them about Jesus. Please help us to do this. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Last week, love was in the air. It was Valentine's Day. This year it looked very different for most people. Not going out to a restaurant with their significant other, not going away for the weekend, but still, many found ways to show their love. Flowers were bought, chocolates, special dinners were made, presents were exchanged, candles were lit. Whether you celebrate Valentine's Day or not, it says something that our society values love. We already have days set aside to show love and appreciation, birthdays, anniversaries, Mother's and Father's Day. But here's a day for romantic love especially to be celebrated. We love love in our culture, but we don't understand it. That's easily seen with romantic love. A world of easy sex and easy divorce, which brings pain and heartbreak, even while it promises freedom and joy. There are biblical grounds for divorce, and those who are divorced deserve our sympathy. But the numbers of people getting divorced in our society is devastating. Our society is eager to accept and celebrate homosexual couples, while ignoring the impact on children growing up by design with either no father or mother. We don't understand what true, healthy, romantic love is. But romantic love is just one example. What about love for our neighbours, which God calls us to? We'd like to think we'd help others in need, that we'd sacrifice for them, but then we hear the calls of another lockdown, and instantly there's empty shelves at the shops. Our willingness to care for our neighbour goes out the window when we're confronted with the chance that we'll miss out. What does it mean to love? How can we love the people closest to us, our acquaintances, people we've never met? Paul shows us in these verses what it means to love. By observing Paul, we see true love preaches the gospel. True love preaches the gospel. We'll tackle these verses in three headings. Verses 8 to 10, unceasing prayer. Verses 11 to 12, longing to encourage. Verses 13 to 15, seeking a harvest. Let's keep our eyes on Paul to see true, genuine love. First, in verses 8 to 10, we see unceasing prayer. He starts with being thankful. Verse 8, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Who do you thank? You thank the one who's done the thing you appreciate. I don't thank my kids for dinner when my wife cooked it. I don't thank the spider on the wall for the eggs my chickens have laid. Credit where credit's due. Faith is God's gift. Paul's thankful to God both that he's given faith to the Romans and that this faith is becoming well known. God gave faith even to those in the capital of the empire. That's newsworthy. They've truly placed their trust in Jesus, and it was God who enabled them. But is Paul flattering them, buttering them up? Does he always say this and he doesn't really mean it? Well, this kind of prayer is common in Paul's letters. He's usually thankful for those he's writing to, telling them he's praying for them at all times. But does that mean he's insincere? No. He wants these Romans to know that he means what he says. He's so eager for them to believe him that he makes an oath. Verse 9, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Why would Paul feel the need to take this oath? Why might the Romans not believe him? Maybe they suspect he's jealous. He's the apostle to the Gentiles, church-planting master, and someone else started a church at the very centre of the empire. Is Paul clenching his teeth, angry that he didn't get the credit for it? No. Paul swears with God as his witness, he's overjoyed. Probably the church was started by someone who was in Jerusalem at Pentecost. In Acts 2, it mentions there were people from Rome there. At least one believed and took the gospel back home. And Paul's eager to meet them. He loves these brothers and sisters he's never met, so he prays. He says in verse 9, he prays without ceasing, not meaning that every moment of the day he prays for them, that's impossible, but he keeps praying for them, regularly. Daily or weekly, he keeps coming back to them in his prayers. God's shown love to them through the gospel, through Jesus' death for them, and Paul loves them too. So he prays for them. To love means to pray. When we love others, we want the best for them. But many Christians struggle with prayer. Taking time to talk to God doesn't come naturally. And often when we pray, we only think about ourselves and our needs, which are real and good to pray for, but we neglect others. When we have true love for others, we pray for them. One help in prayer is having a plan. What and who will you pray about on what days? Will you show love to others in the church by praying for them, for our mission partners? For the persecuted church. Let me encourage you, make a plan for your prayers so you can love others with prayer. So you can say, like Paul does, that you pray unceasingly for them. As we keep our eyes on Paul so we can see what love really is, we've seen unceasing prayer. And now, in verses 11 to 12, we see him longing to encourage. That's why he's been praying. Because of his love, he's been constantly praying he'd be able to see them, to encourage them. We saw that at the end of verse 10, Paul wanting to come to them. He says why in verses 11 to 12, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." Notice how passionate Paul is about seeing them. He longs for it. In the 3rd century BC, the Old Testament was translated into Greek. It was this word they use to translate Psalm 42. "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God."
He's longing, yearning, panting to see them, like a deer panting for water in the desert. Why? To give them a spiritual gift. Paul's not thinking of the gifts he's listed in 1 Corinthians 12 or Romans 12. Only God gives those. Paul can't give faith, service, or mercy. He wanted to encourage them. We don't know how. Maybe he wouldn't know until he got there. But maybe it was simply him being there which would be the encouragement. But did you notice? He's not planning to come as the guru. He wants to be encouraged by them. They have something to give him too. He needs them and wants their encouragement, just like he wants to encourage them. He's not the Lone Ranger. He's not content to be on his own. We were created to be in community, to encourage one another, support one another. Most of us felt the weight of being apart last year in lockdown. We felt like we were an island when we're supposed to be part of something larger. We were eager to get to church and see everyone. But has that fire died? Are we less eager to come to church now we've been able to for the last few months, except for last week? Maybe you think you don't need it, or you think you don't need to take part in a Bible study. Maybe you think you'll get nothing out of it. But no man is an island. Paul was eager for the encouragement of others, and he wanted to encourage them. Are you doing all you can to encourage the church? Are you attending regularly, or is there something better you want to attend? Let me assure you, when you're away, you're missed. We feel it. Paul longed to be with and encourage the Romans. There are many here who are great at encouraging. Not only are you regular, but you're eager to talk to others, make them feel welcome. You want to talk about the gospel, about the truth from God's word. Thank you. But for others of us, encouragement takes effort. Getting to church each week isn't a priority. For some, Bible study is too hard to get to, and that's understandable. But are you just deciding not to come? Have you thought about how much of an encouragement you could be just by attending? What does love look like? Our world is confused about that question. But Paul shows us what it means to love. It involves unceasing prayer, longing to encourage, and in verses 13 to 15, it involves seeking a harvest. In verse 13, he says he's wanted to come for a while because he wants some fruit among them also, just as among the other Gentiles. This is what Paul has been driving towards since verse 8. He loves them, and true love preaches the gospel. He's been praying to be there with them, to mutually encourage each other, so he can get some fruit. He's seeking a harvest. What kind of harvest? A gospel harvest. Verse 15, "So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also." We can be tempted to think of the gospel as the ABCs of the Christian life. It's what you start with, but then you graduate from that. We think to become a Christian, that's when you need to hear about Jesus and forgiveness of sin. But then once you've believed, once you're in, you need to start hearing other things. Some want to hear more about the deep things of theology. The focus turns from Jesus' death and resurrection to the ins and outs of predestination, or the end times, or creation, or the Holy Spirit. Others want to graduate from the gospel and move on to practicalities, to ethics, how we should live. And a growing number just want to be patted on the back and told that God loves them and doesn't expect much from them. We think of the gospel as the ABCs of the Christian life. When kids are learning to ride a bike, they need to be told all the basics of steering, pedaling. But once they've learned those things, they don't need those instructions. Sadly, some Christians aren't interested in hearing the gospel because that's the basics and they want to move on. But Paul never moves on from the gospel. Because the gospel isn't the ABCs of the Christian life, but the A to Z. The gospel touches on every theological question, on every moral instruction. The gospel is meant to infuse every part of our life, and we're never supposed to get away from talking about it. So Paul says he's ready to come to Rome and preach the gospel to them. Not just to unbelievers to win converts, though he's always ready to do that. But he's writing to Christians, and he says he wants to preach the gospel to you. You believers. And in this letter, he'll spend a lot of time on the gospel. We're waiting for instructions. Last year, I used the words imperative and indicative. If you were taught grammar at school, you might remember that an imperative is a command, but an indicative is a statement. James kicked the ball is an indicative statement. Kick the ball, James, is an imperative, an instruction. It'll take a while before Paul gets to imperatives. He wants us to know the indicative, what God has done through Jesus, before he tells us what to do. He wants us to focus on Jesus and what he's done for us at the cross, to really swim in the gospel truth, to get soaked in it. He wants us, when we bleed, to bleed the gospel. He says in verse 14, he's a debtor to Greeks and barbarians, wise and unwise. He's been given the gospel for them. God gave him the gospel of his son so he'd be the apostle to the Gentiles and preach it to them. And he does it gladly because God has given him a true love for Gentiles. This isn't a grudging duty for Paul. He's not dragging his feet. He doesn't need to be convinced. He doesn't just pray. He prays unceasingly. He longs to come to them. He's seeking a harvest among them. True love preaches the gospel. So to those who don't know what the gospel is, it's the good news that God sent Jesus to save sinners. When Jesus, God's Son, died on the cross, he was taking the place of sinners. Now, whoever trusts in Jesus won't be punished for their sins because Jesus already took that punishment. You can be forgiven right now if you'd trust in Jesus and receive the forgiveness that he offers. Do it today. Don't wait. The offer is for you now. True love preaches the gospel. Kids, you can do this. When you're at church, you can talk to the older people about the gospel. You can remind them how great it is that Jesus died for them, how amazing that God became a baby, how comforting to know that all our sin has been taken away, and that when Jesus comes back, we'll get to be with him forever. And this is something that the older ones of us can do. You might not feel like you can do anything. But first, just you being here is an encouragement. And second, hearing you speak about Jesus and what he's done for you would just about lift the roof. Even while you struggle to move, to hear you talk about Jesus and focus your conversations on him and the cross would bring encouragement and joy to everyone around you. But we know that the gospel's not just for Christians. Like Paul, we're under obligation. We have the joyful duty to bring the gospel to those who don't believe. Jesus told us to make disciples. So, are you in unceasing prayer that God would give you opportunities? That you'd be bold to take those opportunities? Have you prayed while inviting friends, family and neighbours to grill a Christian tonight at 4 p.m. True love preaches the gospel. Sometimes that means you'll try to explain the gospel once, but the other person doesn't want to hear it.
So you become like the wife in Peter's first letter, showing how the Gospel's impacted your life and praying for another chance. Because we long for people to believe. Because we love them. And true love preaches the Gospel. Let's pray. Our God, we long to be a people of love. Our world so radically misunderstands what love is. Love is perverted and corrupted. But we know that love can't be separated from the Gospel. When we love others, we long for them to know the Gospel and grow in the Gospel. So we pray your Spirit would be working in us. This love doesn't come from us, but only from you. So please, stir that love up in us. And we pray your Spirit would always be pointing us to the Gospel, to Jesus and life in him. As we love others, may we proclaim that Gospel of joy and life. And we pray that we as your church would be changed by the Gospel, and that many would be saved through it. In Jesus' name, Amen. I'm Jesse Wolls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. We'd love to have you join us physically next Sunday at 10 a.m. If you're not a Christian, but you're curious to know more about Jesus, the church, what Christians believe, then today at 4 p.m. we're hosting Grill a Christian. I'll speak on the question, is my child more valuable than a rat? After that, you'll be free to ask questions in a relaxed environment. Grill a Christian starts at 4 p.m. at Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, 75A Victoria Street. You can contact us through Facebook, Instagram, or our website if you'd like. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please do get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. God bless you.